All right, we are back. College football climaxes. College basketball feast week is an early season crescendo of ranked matchups. We talk about that next with one of our favorites, Sean Keeler. Happy Thanksgiving. Follow him at Sean Keeler. Read him at Denver Post, at Depost Sports. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Michael. Happy Black Saturday to you, or whatever color we're assigning this. It's Black Sunday tomorrow, I guess, for a lot of college football coaches, so I'm not sure what color today is. Green Saturday, if you make a lot of money?
Yeah, I guess with the nil portal, it can be Green Saturday for the players, too, now. So for some of them, more so outside of Colorado. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, so college football is coming to a head, but we're going to talk a little college basketball because this is a very special week before things quiet down because, you know, I did my college basketball preview last week and I had Duke, UCLA. My sleeper was Arizona in the Final Four, 17th ranked preseason. That's as big a sleeper as I could come up with. Reasonably, and my champion North Carolina, who just got upset last night. So I had several observations.
By Iowa State. Tell us who did it, Larry. Somebody's Cyclones pulled it off.
Yeah.
Who could that be, Larry?
Yeah, a team that was decimated by Texas stealing their point guard. And we didn't expect much from Iowa State, and man, they caught Carolina not looking, and you got to wonder about Hubert Davis and that team there. They had so much intangibles last year. You got to say, well, this is an unusual letdown, but it's college. It's college basketball. It's one of the reasons why I think it's my favorite sport. You get more.
It is yours. November basketball, Larry, as you know, you're going to find out. You know how you find out if you're a problem gambler? If you happen to be wagering, and you can legally here, so let's be clear on that. If you trust yourself in November basketball, you're a braver man than I.
Yeah.
When it comes to college sports,
yep.
Because I wouldn't touch that before Christmas.
And you know, I think college basketball is hard to predict in that realm. We make picks on this show, but we don't gamble on college basketball. Sean, I had several observations. Let's start out. I'll throw four at you, and then you can throw me some of yours. Kansas. They've reloaded. McCullers and Dick are great additions. Love Duane Harris, the selfless point guard. But, again, they're proving this again yesterday, I think. Kansas can't repeat, and they can't even make the Final Four. They don't have a post player to replace McCormick, and that's a fatal flaw in this team.
Yeah, and especially with what Bill Self traditionally likes to run, when you know, for all the hype about what KU does offensively and the talent. I remember, you know, in my 3 years kind of following them extensively at Fox Sports, and it was remarkable how much of Kansas's offense is about their defense, quite frankly. I think I did a kind of a breakdown of their numbers, and something like 40% of their points were on breakouts at one point, either in 13 or 14. Then they got Joel Embiid, and that made it really, really easy to do. So I think traditionally that's the kind of thing where that's where Bill always wants to get things started first. So I think ultimately you're going to see a shape that resembles that. But the way it's going for all these teams, as you call it, feast, it's kind of famine.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, I think they're going to have to kind of sort these things out. And when you have these league games coming up next week, in a lot of these Power 5 leagues and non-Power 5 leagues. It's kind of an interesting little time. I actually enjoy the first 2 weeks in December traditionally in college hoops more than I do Thanksgiving week. I'm still in football mode, Larry. I got to be honest.
Okay, but my name isn't Larry, but that's fine. So,
sorry, Michael. Sorry.
So anyway, I'm looking for my co-host. I don't have one named Larry.
It's your board guy.
So Duke, one and duns, made it to the Final Four. They're one of the two teams that have ever won it all with one and duns. They had a brilliant point guard, and I don't think Jeremy Roach is Tyus Jones, who was the classic college point guard. But he's back, and he's playing better. What encouraged me about my pick of Duke to get to the Final Four with an experienced point guard and a bunch of one-and-done talent is at the end of the Oregon State game, and again last night when they were playing, when I'm watching them, they finished the game with veterans on the floor against Oregon State. They had Ryan Young, their transfer from Northwestern, who's a graduate, and Jacob Grandison from Illinois to play with Roach, and so they may be full of one-and-dones, and Filipowski is all-world. He'll only be there 1 year. He's the least highly recruited of the group of the one-and-dones, and he's the best player on that team. I like this Duke team. I don't root for Duke personally, but Mitchell even last night started to get involved in the offense. I think Duke looks good to me.
They do. Michael, I saw some of that game, but I was at the CSU game yesterday, so I was working and didn't get a chance to catch all of it.
Sure.
Although during the first three quarters of CSU New Mexico, you could have a sandwich, you could do a Sudoku puzzle, you could just pretty much watch a couple seasons of Game of Thrones, and you wouldn't have missed anything as that came out. But, you know, nice win for Jay Norvell regardless, because at this point any win's a nice win. But I saw my old friend Ryan Young. Ryan Young, just so you know, spent about 4 years losing close games at Northwestern.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of look up, and I certainly don't follow the Duke East religiously as you do, Larry. And I had to look up, and I went, that's Ryan Young? He's there. He's with the Dukies. How is he going to finish that out? So they've got some interesting pieces, because Young is one of those kind of undersized four types who thinks he's a three-point shooter but really isn't. So I think, again, you know, that's going to take a while to kind of round into form. But it's an interesting take. You compare that to Carolina with all those one-and-dones and using the portal. It's interesting seeing a school like Duke kind of go that route and try to build it that way. But we've got a long way to go that way. I'll be real curious how many of those guys, A, are healthy, and B, how they all gel when we get to late February, early March, whatever.
Well, they're starting to show some improvement, some of the younger guys, a couple of them I mentioned here. Arizona and the Pac-12. Arizona, mature, heady team. I did a chart. I could not come up with a fourth Final Four team. They all looked the same to me, and I didn't see any separation and didn't think they compared to the first three that I chose. And I wound up surprising myself and picking Arizona, somebody I didn't even initially consider. But they have all the pieces. They're beating good teams. San Diego State's a great defensive team. They're rugged. Yeah. Creighton is a team with a lot of talent inside, outside. They gave a big lead against Creighton, and they stood around, didn't run any offense in the second half. But I so far, Arizona's making me look good.
They are. The Pac-12 can be interesting. I'm trying to get a beat on where CU fits, because like a lot of these teams, it's been a roller coaster in just like 3 weeks.
Yep.
I can't figure out kind of where these teams are standing. I got a stat for you nationally that kind of sums up where we are right now. Of the preseason AP top 12, 10 have already lost once. And what? We're 4 weeks in, barely,
barely,
to this point.
Yeah.
Two of the top 10 have two losses already. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of tells me we're in for a doozy. And it said something about scheduling, too, granted. But some of these are, like you said, you go back to UNC, Iowa State, they're just a kind of a little out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're looking at a world where Houston and Texas might be the top two teams come Monday, Tuesday, you know?
Yeah, well-deserved. And I looked at Texas, and I didn't think that the pieces added a talented team. There might be more good teams in the USA college basketball this year than any year I remember. There are years when the whole country is down, and you just don't see teams that are really of the same caliber of previous years. This is not one. All right, let's finish on the Pac-12. You brought it up. I brought it up, too. Clearly, I said three teams were cut above the rest of the league, and that's not really true for the third team. But UCLA and Arizona are. And who's competing for fourth place? CU looks like they're going to have trouble with that. Nobody is stepping up there. Maybe there's only really two top teams in the Pac-12. Oregon is clearly vulnerable, and they will get better as the season goes on, especially with Dana Altman as a coach, and they always have lots of new pieces, and they got some veterans there. But it seems like the big two, UCLA and Arizona in the Pac-12, and I don't think CU looks like a team that can get to number four.
I wouldn't rule them out, but you're right. It's a bit more of a drop. Wasn't it like that maybe 2 years ago? Or 3 years ago, might have been even farther than that before the pandemic, where there was a pretty deep NIT pool out of that group and then some real elites at the top, and it was hard for CU to climb out of that mess. But I mean, didn't Tennessee just hand Kansas its backside? I mean, the computers are going to like CU, yep. Larry. That's what that Tennessee win does for you. And that's what a scheduling up period now at Thanksgiving into mid-December, where that comes back to help you. You've got to help hold your form in the league somewhere. And to your point, though, I don't know that you can predict in an unpredictable start to a college basketball season. I'm not sure what you can or what the computers can gainfully predict of what the Buffs are going to do. We're going to
will get better.
The credit for Tad Boyle, as good a coach and accomplished a coach as he is, if he can get a winning conference record out of this team and sneak some, you know, steal some games on the road, Michael, where those are going to be precious. And I'm not sure what's going to happen at home, frankly. I think it could be interesting. Will it be? I mean, we all thought, I certainly 3 weeks ago, that Wyoming was going to be the best team in the region here, just to bring it back to local talk. And now I'm not so sure. And I already, you know, between that and the bad football I've had to watch, it's kind of had my head spinning for about 2 weeks. I couldn't even get your name right this morning, brother. That's how much turkey I've had.
Well, I may have to change it if this continues. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe I'll have more success under a different name. Sean Keeler, I agree. CU's can be fun to watch as they develop. It's been up and down. If you're not ranked, they don't show up. It's really a weird early season. Hey, thank you, Sean. Sean Keeler, Denver Post, writes about everything there. Thank you, Sean. Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care, Michael. See you.
All right. And we come back. It's our games of the week. We'll start with the big game, Ohio State-Michigan, right after this.